Are we good? Everybody can hear me? Demonstrations, protests, and riots. The people are speaking. And right now, the world is getting very loud. You can't go to any of my various news feeds on my phone. There was a time we had to use the Toronto Star, but those days are gone. And I have 9 different news feeds, and yes, I'm an addict. But I have to stop, because everywhere you turn, there are protests and demonstrations today. I can't keep track of them. And that's embarrassing, because I am a news addict. So let's look at our passages this morning to find out a little bit about what God says about protests, riots, and demonstrations. In the first book of Nehemiah, we hear about a situation where the people have risen up and they are upset. They are being taxed to death, into poverty. They are being taxed into enslavement. And they are complaining loudly, and most importantly, they refuse to work. So Nehemiah is trying to build a wall, and his workers are like, man, we can't build your wall because we have to do all this other work for the king, for the taxes, and just to eat. And this upsets Nehemiah somewhat. So he calls the people together and he says, today let's make a change. Stop taxing your own people. Stop punishing your own people. Stop doing that, because you are ruining our economy and we will never get the wall built. And so the people, realizing what they're doing, smartened up and said, okay, we'll do what you say. We believe in the wall. And so they give back and they restore and they do all the things they're supposed to be doing in the first place under pressure from Nehemiah, and eventually the wall gets built. But the point of the passage is, here is a leader who heard his people in their outrage and their grief and their annoyance and everything else, not striking as we understand it, but simply trying to survive. And he makes it possible for his people to go back to work on the communal project. This is a leader who did the right thing. So from Nehemiah, we learn that if people have a problem and there is truly injustice, we have to stand up and we have to speak and we have to go to where the injustice is and do our best to try and correct it. And if we're lucky, we'll get it done. Right? We get to the passage in Luke, and Luke is always tricky. So here in Luke, we find Christ on a Sabbath day. And he enters into his synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. So it's like university students coming back for the weekend, or after you're married, going to church with your new husband. You know, he's an older guy now. He's not a kid anymore, but in everybody's mind's eye, he's still little Joseph the carpenter's son. And we all have those people in our communities of faith, right? They come back, and it's all very exciting. It was all very exciting. So there he is, not a leader, not a rabbi, but they hand him the scroll to read. And he directly quotes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it's almost verbatim what he says. He says, I'm going to free the oppressed. I'm going to defend those in poverty. I am going to declare freedom and the year of the Lord's favor. Today I am going to do that. Just like Nehemiah, he is doing it right now. He's not doing it later, he's doing it now. And what do the people say? Huh, hometown boy did good. That's what they say. They're like, oh, he's one of our own, isn't he great? He's the Messiah. He's going to do great things here. It's going to be all good in Nazareth now. And Jesus turns to them and says, physician, heal thyself. That's what you're going to say to me, right? Physician, heal thyself. And you're going to say to me, you know, do what you did in Capernaum here. Create a miracle here. We want the miracle. Show us a sign. Do something amazing right now. And Jesus is like, no, I don't think so. Right? You guys already know God, you don't need me. In Israel, there were many, many people suffering when Elijah declared no water. Many people suffered. But Elijah was sent to a widow who was not a Jew. She was a daughter of Assyria. Ancient Jews don't like those people. She got water, she got fed, and Jews did not. Daughters of Israel did not. Many, many, many did not. And that is Christ's point. God sent Elijah outside of the godly community. There were many people at the time of Elisha who had leprosy. For the record, I worked for the leprosy mission, and there still are. And so Elisha cured Naaman. Naaman is an Assyrian. He's not an Israelite. And what he's basically saying to the people in his community is, I'm going to cure other people. Other people are going to get the miracle. You're not going to get the miracle. You don't need the miracle. You know God. You've got the Torah. What do you need with a miracle? And just like that, the crowd goes from happy to furious. What do you mean we don't get the miracle? You're our hometown kid. You know, it's kind of like people expecting Wayne Gretzky to play in that little town when he's from up north somewhere. Right? He's not going to play there. He doesn't play at all anymore. I just dated myself. You know what? A little aside here. I was looking at the video from the camp, and I'm like, that's cool. I want to go to camp. And then she said, Don't Stop Believing is an oldie. And I went, I guess I'm not going to camp. Yeah. You know, so we have this example of people getting really angry. And then what they don't tell you in Sunday school is the crowd got so angry that they wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. Now, who heard that in Sunday school? Y'all heard that in Sunday school? No, because they never tell you the juicy stuff in Sunday school. The crowd got so angry, the people that, if you were from this community of church and you went away to university and you came back and you declared yourself the person who was going to free those who were imprisoned, but we weren't going to do it here, y'all would rise up, pick that person up, take them to a cliff, and try to throw them off. That's how angry they were. Now, we all know in churches that doesn't happen. Y'all get together and you gossip, and they don't get invited to the ladies' tea or whatever. Right? There's no roast beef dinner for them. But we all have our ways of penalizing those that do not meet our expectations. Now, at that moment, Christ, being the Christ, being the guy he is, kind of picked himself off, dusted himself off, dead-eyed them in the eye, and walked right on through them, and went on with his mission. In this world today, we have so many demonstrations going on. This example of a demonstration is how easy it is to turn a crowd, and how you should respond to that. You know, in Chile, on October the 6th, the government raised the cost of a subway token 4%. Now, 4% is not a lot of money. I mean, I'm not good with math, but 4% is not a lot of money. But it sparked public outrage. It was just that little thing that set them off. And 2 weeks later, schools and universities were shut down, major cities were shut down, and over 12 people were dead in riots. Right? On October 17th, I don't know if you guys know what this is, the WhatsApp. So it's this, you guys are hip. Okay, so I found out about WhatsApp last year when I went to India, and because that's how they communicate over there. They don't text, so I had to learn. So I know what WhatsApp is, and it's this little, it's like texting, only it's within a certain app. Right? It's just, and texting is how you talk on your phone to young people, because they don't actually speak. So in Lebanon, they introduced a tax on the WhatsApp text. Sparked riots that are going on today. Millions of people pouring into town squares. And it wasn't about the increase in subway fare. And it was not about the tax on WhatsApp. It was just a little tiny thing that broke open the outrage and the public's demand for fairness. Right? We're talking about communities of people who have broad inequities. And if that wasn't a telling thing for me, fueled by social media and communication systems I don't even know about, no doubt, and things that kids do today that I don't understand, all of a sudden in September, were we not taken by surprise, at least I was, to find a youth movement like I have never seen, and we will probably never see again, take to the streets, 150 countries, over 8 million people demonstrating for climate change around the world. Something that wouldn't have happened when I was a kid because we were not, I had no idea what was going on in the world when I was a kid, actually. Who are we kidding? You know, we had a newspaper. They have the world in the palm of their hand. And they are angry and they are outraged and they are telling us so very, very vocally. And the world gets louder. Right? As Christians, we are called to stand in witness. We are called to be leaders for justice. We are called to be like Nehemiah. We are called to be like Christ, to make no mistake about it. Christ was a protester. When Christ told the Pharisees about Sabbath day law and broke Levitical law, he was a protester. When Christ told the wealthy not to sit at the head of the table, he was a protester. When Christ said that we should treat with fairness the widow, and when Christ stood before a mob and prevented them from murdering a woman, and when Christ touched the leper, he broke Levitical law and he was a protester. Christ was a big lawbreaker. I am not suggesting you break the law. Don't go home and say, I heard a preacher this morning and she said break the law. That's not what I'm saying. Point of clarification. But what I am saying is it is okay to stand up and announce publicly if a law is unfair or unjust. Right? We are seeing the world change. And for some of us, it's changing really, really fast. People who never had a voice before now have a voice. Right? We are called as Christians in a holy act of righteousness to stand up and demonstrate and protest. We don't all go on marches. We don't all stand up and scream at the authorities. Your protest may be small. Your protest may be a prayer. I grew up on the tail end of John Lennon's bed sleep-ins. I don't know if y'all remember those. Those peace-ins where he and Yoko Ono sat in bed with signs over their head. Google it. You know, it was a big thing. It was a big thing. And now you know I'm not 29. You know, peace marches, civil rights marches, standing up and telling the world that something is wrong and using the force and power of a united voice is a Christian rite of passage. In some parts of the world, gathering for worship like we are right now is a protest. Right? Sitting here right now declaring Christ our Savior, declaring that we believe, declaring that we are here together is a collective voice. And when we pray, in a lot of ways, we are protesting the world. We are called to be vocal. We are supposed to do what Christ said we are supposed to do. And I think it's interesting to note that in both passages, they said today. You know, in the Judaic passage, where Christ is preaching, those people haven't seen a prophet in almost 400 years. 400 years ago, someone said Christ was coming, and they've been waiting a long time, and like a watchman at 5 a.m., they've kind of nodded off. And so when Christ arrives, they don't really see him because they've kind of, you know, gotten weary and forgotten. But he's coming again, and we have to be ready for that. And we can't be nodding off. And to make sure that we don't, there is a whole generation of people coming up after us who are very loud, who are demanding change, both for the climate and for the economy and for societies where things are not fair. And we have to be listening. We have to be paying attention. And we have to take action, just like Nehemiah and just like Christ. We have leaders, and we need to inspire them to do the right thing, and we need to be using our voice and our pens and our blogging, which is where you complain online and people read it and then write you hate mail back. We need to be doing whatever it takes, whatever we can do, to make the world change. So as you leave this place today and as you go about your life, make sure that you are using what God gave you to protest what lies before you and needs changing. We never want to be apathetic. We never want to be callous. We never want to lose the opportunity to be a witness. We want to be strong in our voice, and we want to know that we are Christ-like when we go out and protest. Amen. I think we sing now. Yes. Oh, I don't sing now. So the offering will be received, and then when the guys are finished singing, we're going to sing together, Give Thanks.